is no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Yeah. Whoa.
Totally natural.
Yeah. Whoa.
Finally. Whoa. You're finally revealing your true voice to the audience.
Oh, yeah. I always talk like this. You guys meet the character Henry Zebrowski, but the real Henry Zebrowski, yeah. Here sounds like this.
Oh, bus stop Henry Zebrowski.
You know what? How simple would it be to just live at the bus stop?
I think it's extremely difficult given the threats of violence, having to protect your tushy.
No.
And not to mention dealing with everybody who's upset that the Greyhound is late.
No, you're out there, the hot chick with the bread always comes by, and she's like, and she's singing her song about how she reads all the time because she's the only nerd in town for some reason, and you're at the bus stop. She gets the baguettes for free. Of course, she's a fucking hot chick. What do you get? No one brought anything to you. You're obviously starving sitting on the bus.
Right.
Bus stop. With your hands up your ass.
Have you been to a bus stop before?
One time.
Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben, hanging out with Bus Stop Henry Zebrowski.
That is me.
And I am just so happy to be back. We're going to spread a little bit of laughter today.
You know what we say before the show each time, and this is, I think it's important for you to remember, every single time we look dead into each other's eyes, we get about an inch away from each other's mouths, and we say, this time, let's have fun with it.
Let's have fun with it.
Because I'm seeing a lot of messaging about the new David Cronenberg film.
Okay, what's this about?
It's called, I believe it's called Cinema of the New Flesh.
Ooh,
hold on, let me look this
name.
Up.
Name. David Cronenberg, so cool. The Mofi Fly.
Cronenberg, because everybody's talking about it because they're in Cannes. They're on the Cannes thing. I forget. Well, let me see what the name of this movie is.
By the way, Tom Cruise is back. He went to Cannes and he won a dipshit award. I forget. Yep. What's the name of the award? The Pepe Le Pew?
A Palme d'Or.
Palme d'Or, which I just did to myself all weekend long.
Yes.
Hello.
Crimes of the Future, it's called. And the thing is, I don't know if I've ever told this story on the show.
No.
Did I ever tell you the story about the time I saw his butthole, David Cronenberg?
No.
Have you ever said this on the show?
No. Did it look like The Fly?
No. I'm haunted by this because his image keeps coming up, and I remember
this
looking into this man's eyes.
This is an
eyes.
Innocent exchange, I would assume.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was in Toronto, Canada.
Right.
And
Toronto, Maine.
Not to brag, but I was in Toronto, and I thought it would be fun to play a little prank on one of my co-workers at the time. I was working on a show that was that some of you have hilariously called Heroes Stillborn.
Yes, Heroes Reborn, of course. The fantastic show. It was not your fault. You did great. Whoever did the effects for the video game, that's what kind of brought people out of
it. I don't want to get into it.
Okay.
But also, I feel like Heroes Stillborn is really sad. I actually wish they would have went ahead and just aborted it and flushed it. But I went to do this funny
the
little
old
prank.
Burger King abortion.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Drive by.
Oh,
It was Ryan Guzman, my friend, very handsome.
Yeah.
And I did a funny little prank on him, and then he was coming back. I basically.
Wait a second. What was the funny prank?
He had what he said was what he viewed as an unstable ex-girlfriend. So I took a bunch of lipstick and I wrote all over the mirrors and also the inside of his trailer. I found you. I can't wait to be with you. I found you. We're going to be together forever.
Are you Jared Leto pretending to be the Joker? What happened, you cult? Crazy.
I wasn't in character. I was just having a good time. And so when he came back early, it was like, ooh, so I thought I would nimbly jump over the trailer hitch between the trailers, and I missed it. And I gouged a full 2 inches of meat out of the shin of my leg.
Karma.
Seriously. And so I had to go to the Hollywood doctor in Toronto, right? So I went to the Hollywood doctor. They just bring you in there because I needed to get a tetanus shot because I haven't had a tetanus shot in a long time. And I went in, the Canadian woman in the front, very pleasant.
Sure.
A dumpling of a woman.
Oh.
She was just like, oh, well, your doctor's ready for you. Yeah, I could just go right back there.
Go right back there, yeah.
And so I sauntered back in and I opened the door. And as I opened the door, I go, hey, this is Henry Zebrowski. And I look and I see an old man is bent over the table. His butt is spread wide with the white hair, like literally if you scared a koala to death, you know what I mean? And it just went white. That's what it looked like from the bottom down. And
oh, mama.
I looked straight into, talk about body horror.
Yeah.
I looked straight into this old man's butthole, and literally the doctor like turned around, and as the doctor turned around and I said, hello, my name is Henry Zebrowski, I then also looked into the eyes of the man. I like, you know, you take it all in.
Sure.
You take in all the information.
See the past, the present, and the future.
I zoomed into the butthole, and then it zoomed into the doctor looking at me like absolutely startled while I'm there, and then zoomed in on the man as he turned around and looked me dead in the eyes, and I was like, that's acclaimed director David Cronenberg.
Wow.
And like, I know for a fact, and I saw him, and he's just like, just stern, the look on his face, well, being like, because he's seen it all and he's known it all.
I don't
in his mind.
He has not seen a young Polish actor staring at his asshole as he is in a medical position, probably feeling vulnerable.
Very
if
vulnerable.
If I was him, I would say, can you not be so Canadian right now? Lock the door.
They just let me in there. And you know what's weird is when he was bent over, I saw this little light in the very center of his butthole.
Look, yeah.
It's his mouth.
Inner space, yeah.
Then, but I was, it was rough. And so I left, you know, obviously slammed the door, went and sit back.
You didn't say like, I loved your work, sir.
Well, I didn't know. What do you do?
Right.
What do you say? You couldn't be like, nice. Being
right.
Like, oh, hell yeah, I know you better than your wife now. And then I went and I sat in the front room, and he came out and he did acknowledge me, but the only way to really describe it, because it's David Cronenberg, so he's very like,
yes.
Like he has this like nod, solemn nod on his face. And
well, I feel like he should cast you in something. You guys know each other so intimately.
I haven't gotten a call back from a casting director in about 3 years.
Well, that's fine, because usually the callbacks are just telling you that the casting director that cast you died and now they're going with somebody else. Because that's basically the story of our lives. Well, speaking of buttholes, we did talk about fecal transplants on the last episode.
We did.
And my God, did we get a bunch of DMs from people who have poo-poo related situations down there, and they've had the fecal transplant and they swear by it.
I guess. I don't know. Where are we at in this country?
We're
not only, because the poo-poo's, I mean, like, let's be super basic about this.
Sure.
Shit's trying to get out of you.
Right.
Right. It's desperately looking for freedom.
Unless you're John Wayne and they're just trying to make a little apartment complex out of you, and then eventually it'll kill you like most tenants.
That's colon cancer. Exactly. Yeah. But most of the time, shit's just trying to get out of you. All these people saying, hey, but you actually know how you can stay healthy, is that we can actually shove shit right back up in
back
you.
Back in you.
And then I guess
it's like that movie Tenet. Everything's in reverse.
We are doing for this week, the spoiler alert, we're going back to working on our transhumanism series. Woo! This week. We're going back into it. And just this idea of, you know, doctors and scientists are just, how can you be so optimistic you could kill everyone? You know, like this idea that you're so like, you know what to do so solidly. Like, we're definitely going to throw some old shit up there. We're definitely going to take what they, because they view our shit like as elderly, like, well, they sullen shit.
They don't see it as Pizza Hut. They don't see it as, you know, the former Arby's curly fries that we consume to make said shit. They see it for its microbiotics. And as a matter of fact, what I've learned is they found out that fecal transplants are good because they did the research on mice, which means they were just taking little
shits.
I'm going to school. I'm going to be a scientist. And everyone takes their hats off and they say, what a good upstanding citizen.
Congratulations,
what
Bradley.
What did you do all day? You put poop in a mouse. All of a sudden, you're the scientist. And when I do it, I'm a creep.
I'm a serial killer. Yeah,
please,
exactly.
God.
Well, what they're saying is apparently what they can do, and I guess this is true, they're going to do with this this idea of fecal therapy, fecal transplant, where they take
a little poop massage. What a great day to be a turd.
I don't know,
man. You get rubbed.
No, I think I...
Like Mr. Hankey.
SideStoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. Do you think a turd is happier in or out of the butt? I think they're happier out.
I
think
don't
that they want to be free.
Well, it depends.
But they say that, like, which I don't particularly understand still, that you could take a young Duke...
Yeah, young
and
poop.
Put it up inside of you, and then you get healthier, and it helps you reverse age. Like, it's time travel.
Yeah.
Like, literally the shit... Like, but then my thing is, like, let's say I saved a lump of shit from when I was 12. You mean to tell me if I had that saved and we went and reactivated by like soaking in water like you do with ancho chilies?
Absolutely. Or those fun things you can get that just look like a little pill, but then you put it in water, it turns into a dinosaur.
Sure. You could do, if that was that, but with shit and I put it up inside of me, would I all of a sudden be like, am I getting the front hairs back? I'm going to go back to playing the stoner roommate.
Well, according to the surgeries that they've done, or experiments rather, the microbes, they reduced inflammation in the brain, and they also said it helped with key proteins. They got a bunch of proteins back in there. And I don't know, this is according to the Guadrum Institute. They said this is a groundbreaking study.
He's fine.
And it provides, quote, tantalizing evidence.
I don't like the term tantalizing in this, says, because I hate it. They're acting like this is, I'm like, no, we're not finding out a new panty material.
It's tantalizing evidence for the direct involvement of gut microbes in aging and the functional decline of the brain. So there you go. It's supposed to work. So I guess if you're not seeing straight, your poop's all bad.
Yeah. And so talking about if you are what you eat, you really are, like, your gut health really means a lot. I've been talking about with Cena quite a bit. Cena Ghaznavi was talking about how, like, because he eats yogurt every day and he says that helps him.
Yeah.
Is that good?
A lot of people eat yogurt.
He pours about 2 bottles of red wine on top of it. So I don't think that it doesn't fix it, like, in the end. Well, right? Like, not to attack
he's
him.
He's still a classy man.
But all of us, the same thing. Like, now I'm trying to take my health more seriously, obviously, looking at, like, you know, Marcus is coming back. He's got the long COVID. And yes. I've been thinking about, like, how, especially because we've been working on this transhumanism episode. Mm-hmm. It was like Ray Kurzweil, who is the idea, he has propagated the idea that AI will be just as functional as the human brain by the year 2049, which is like, yeah, good luck.
Very freaking scary stuff in some ways.
People are still dying at amusement parks. You know what I mean?
Well, that'll never change.
No. But, you know, he's saying that we're going to, you know, the singularity will happen. That robots will then immediately transcend us in an exponential fashion. But Ray Kurzweil, it's all about because his daddy died. Oh. And he wants to see his father again. He wants to see his father. But he's been trying to take care of his health because he's saying that the human body can naturally be, I mean, this is real Rogan to me, and I don't think this is not true.
Okay.
But he believes that the human body could extend its own meat space life to about 150 years.
Why not?
So, sure. And he's saying that you can get the joints and the meat
of the
body. I actually
think that's too short. We can live to 100 now. I mean, people lived to 100 in the 1800s.
Yeah, they live to 100 now, and they look like traveling ghosts.
Did you see Dick Van Dyke with his younger girlfriend, who, yes, is 30 years younger, which means she's still 70 years old?
Hey, man, she still got it.
And
got
he looks like, he does finally look like a chimney sweep.
He does. He looks like a dancing skeleton, but he's smiling.
Want me to clean up your chimneys? Thank you, Bone Man.
He's so scary. But what Ray Kurzweil is doing is, so I added vitamins to my diet. That's what he said. You gotta put vitamins in your diet. You gotta exercise. So I've been taking all of this shit.
You didn't need this guy to tell you that. Everyone knows vitamins.
I'm trying to make it to my exoskeleton.
I know.
I'm trying to make it to my exoskeleton. I'm gonna get there. But what he's saying is he puts all the stuff in. So I was like, okay, what do I do? And I looked up, like, vitamins on the internet. What are vitamins? Blah, blah, blah.
Folks, you didn't want to try the tactical bath. Whatever, gorgeous.
So I got these fucking, was it oil of oregano?
Fish oil?
Not
fish oil.
But it's oil oregano. They say it's supposed to help your body.
It's oil of oregano.
That's what it is. But guess what? It makes each one of my pisses and my shit smell like delicious pizza sauce. Ooh. But it's not good. But you know it's not good. You know when you take that,
what are you doing in there? You making pizza?
Yeah. Yeah, how do you know?
Why don't you put some of that inside me?
Yeah.
But no, so I took that and I tried to take the garlic supplement, which then I just
You're just turning yourself into an Italian.
I literally just became an Italian fucking fitness trainer.
How is this healthy?
I don't know. But I guess so. Side stories, LPOTL@gmail.com. What vitamin should I be taking in order to make it to my exoskeleton?
And myself as well. I need to get healthy.
I'm taking quercetin?
You know my new home is near a Thai, Muay Thai, not Muay Thai. So I'm going to do Muay Thai.
Man,
I'm going to start beating up Joe Rogan because he's still very tiny. Even though he's strong, he's tiny.
He's got a good spin kick, but I feel like if you can take the kick and you get in there and you mash his head up against the fucking wall and shit just be like, you don't understand. I'm fueled by rage. You don't got the rage. I got yourself now, buddy. Yourself now, friend.
Also, thank you to Dan Soder. He mentioned us on Joe Rogan, and it was very sweet to see Joe Rogan
not acknowledge.
Purposely not acknowledge it. Anyway, when it comes to the poo-poo, you got to be safe because it can change. There's a lot of different stuff that happens with bacteria, viruses, fungi.
This is called alternative health with Ben and Henry.
Like, this is according to the Quadram Institute. Again,
what is that?
It's tantalizing.
It's not tantalizing. It's reverse dookie.
I don't want to be crass, and I certainly don't want to be problematic.
No.
But do we have to start arresting these scientists? Because what are they doing in these labs? What are they doing? I just,
they should at least be threatened with a hand with handcuffs. I mean, like, yes. All right, if you say one more thing about putting shit back up inside of our butts, you're going to arrest you.
I'm Dr. Porcupine. I mostly work with this.
I just feel like they're the Miltons of like, the seriously. Entire hospital. Be like, you don't want to go to the seventh floor. That's the shit unit. They're really bizarre. They make HR look handsome.
Oh, God. All right, let's get into some real fucking news.
Absolutely.
Live from your grave.
A roast as dark as the night. Perfect for fueling the cryptid research and mad ravings required for your podcasting. Don't mind the red eyes. He's just trying to warn you of the bridge.
The bridge.
Finally, from the caffeine-addled brains of Springheel Jack Coffee and Last Podcast on the Left, we bring you Mothman's Red Eye Blend. Yes, delicious Panama beans. Go to lastpodcastmerch.com to order yours today.
Now, this is, I'll do this real quick. Again, how many fucking times do we need to say it on the show and everywhere possible? If you were talking to a hitman on the phone, it is literally never once, ever, 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 never, never, ever, ever a hitman.
Not a hitman.
I'm just going to say this again. If you want somebody murdered, you're going to have to do it the old-fashioned American way, and you have to do it yourself.
Do it yourself, and if you're smart, you'll get away with it, but honestly, odds are you won't. So just remember, divorce is legal.
Divorce is legal.
You can always just leave.
And not to be anything, maybe this is good. We're going to get into controversial territory here, especially if you're a lady and you're a lady in the environment. You get off a lot better on in the divorce proceedings if you just learn how to do like...
Oh, she's a little piggy.
You know what I mean? But no, obviously, it takes a lot of evidence. So here we go. This is a pediatrician. A Louisville pediatrician was accused of trying to hire a hitman to kill her ex-husband.
Wait a second. They already got divorced.
Already got divorced.
See, you got to let it go. They say if you love something, let it go. If it comes back, then it's meant to be. Otherwise, I don't know, just go have sex with somebody else.
Or it's stalking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to really, truly, legally let it go. But she should have just been like, we talked about this on a little bit, I think, on the last radio show. But the idea of like, sometimes like, you need a checkout. You need to find a place where you can go get dick.
Sure.
Or pussy. Wherever you get your pussy licked. Like
when we were in Indianapolis, we saw a 56 or 54-year-old woman. She was the horniest woman we have ever met in our entire life.
We've never met a hornier woman in our life.
We sat down and she said, oh yeah, the reason I come here, last time I was here, there's only 5 girls to all the men. And I went home with a 29-year-old and I was so proud of her and I could smell her pussy.
She was just ready to go.
Immediately.
And we were both like, ma'am, you're something special.
Well, you were a little bit like, is Kissel going to do it? Because said the same way when I was speaking to that grandmother at the other bar,
yes,
where I was like, I was just relating to her. And yes, was there a moment where I was like, am I going to have sex with this grandmother?
There was like I was kind of excited because I was just like, holy fucking shit, Kissel's going to bang this indie nurse out of nowhere. Like, she's going to do it. But it's fine. Honestly, lovely woman.
She was lovely.
No, honestly, she ended up saying a bunch of terrible things later on. Which
she was a racist.
We had to leave her alone, yeah.
It's still Indianapolis.
We still managed to have a good time. And everybody that actually saw us after our postponed show, what was the name of that bar?
Oh my goodness.
Lumpy Tins?
Slippy Con. That's bad. Never mind. That's bad. No. Never mind. The slimper.
Slippery noodles.
The slippery noodle. And so I was thinking slippery dump. Anyway, whatever. It was called the slippery noodle. And yes, but that place.
Wow.
Yeah, the slurpy noodle. And it was a horrible name for a bar, but it was very effective. We watched the game. And everyone that came was very sweet.
Bartender was lovely. Everybody who came and hung out with us was lovely. Okay. So we'll get back to this. So Stephanie Russell is the pediatrician. Now, she did the thing. She believed she hired someone on a Sunday. Honestly, that's also Hitman's day off.
Absolutely. It's the Lord's day. Because
they're always
in
church.
That's so true, though. A hitman always is kissing the cross. They're always like, Mother Teresa, I love Mother Teresa.
I gotta see my mother. I gotta give her a kiss. I gotta bring the brajol to Rita.
It's the yin and yang.
Yes. So this was in Norton Commons. This was a very affluent neighborhood that this doctor was a pediatrician for.
Okay.
Obviously, hooked it up online. They talked about it. And this is the thing that really shows you again why it's not real. She paid
only $7,000 for a murder.
Oh, again, my God.
And I do believe that this is how, like, when you go to properly negotiate your salary when you go into a Absolutely. Job, you should look at kind of, like, the history of, like, what things cost and all this kind of shit. I can imagine you're not getting a murder for less than 25 G's.
That's right, because I believe we actually got an email saying something similar to that, where it's like 25 grand, upwards of hundreds of thousands of dollars, depending on the person. 7 grand, I am sorry. It's actually offensive. If you're going to put a hit out on me and you're only going to pay 7 fucking grand.
What's wrong with you? That's how little respect you have for me?
It's just so rude. If you're going to kill me anyway, at least it should hurt your pocketbook a little bit more than that.
It should be at least half the down payment on a house.
Absolutely. She was also a pediatrician at Kids Life Pediatrics, KIDZ. And I'm just going to say this. Not everything has to be fun.
No.
Kids Life, it's a doctor. It's a hospital for kids. Maybe they have cancer and stuff like that.
Every single time you have to bring your canceled, riddled child into Kids Run, you're going to be like, you know what? I'm not taking him to the ball pit today. His bones will fracture.
Oh.
But she only put, she paid half up front. She put $3,500 in a Dropbox outside of her medical office. So she put it where you go to pick up your prescriptions. and then they tried calling the office. They'd have no fucking clue. People went to go visit her that day. She disappeared.
Yes.
She just no-showed on her job, which is difficult as a pediatrician.
Absolutely. And this woman's name was Stephanie Russell. And so Stephanie Russell, so she said, okay, here's $3,500. It's in a Dropbox. Don't even worry about it. According to Lance Dooley, who lives in the Norton Commons, who has two daughters who have been cared for by Russell since they were born, they say she's been their primary care provider for 6 years. So it's freaky.
It is freaky.
That she put a hit out on her ex-husband. Freaky indeed. Do you trust
it's it's a bit freaky.
It's a bit freaky. Do you trust the doctor more or less? Because you know for a fact she has the desire to kill, but exactly, she hasn't.
Well,
because it's like everyone who always says, oh, they are so good. They did they're such nice people. But like, if they have no option other than to be nice, that's why, like, for me, like, I'm really working on it. I want to be nicer. I want to take care of people. Yeah. But like, my brain is like,
kill, 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 kill.
Yes. Pillage. Right. So it's hard.
Yeah,
and I'm working on it. It takes, but if you're just like someone who's constantly smiling.
But this is the struggle of man. This is the struggle of us trying to like understand that you have to form your way into society. So yes, do we have to, in many ways, I do believe like functional psychotics are actually some of the most successful members of our society, right? Like, because they have a goal, which is why they talk about like things like a surgeon or a pilot. High pressure jobs quite often serve somebody that has something like a form of antisocial personality disorder.
Oh my God, like that one pilot that was depressed in Germany and ran his freaking plane into a mountain.
That's not functional.
That was bad.
But the idea of being able to like, you know, separate the whole world from your job is a thing that's really important. And, you know, sometimes, you know, whatever. It probably helps to have some empathy, but also like it keeps you focused. The one thing that this pediatrician didn't have was focus, because that's
true.
What it shows. Being like, so I'm here with my kid. He's got he can't beat Mario Galaxy fast enough for me.
That's massive a problem. Maybe a case of the gout, because I think they have lobster Lunchables now.
I don't know what kids' problems are. And she's in there, and you think she's in there looking at his thumbs to see if his twitch reflexes are strong enough so he can become a professional gamer.
You're just talking about Holden McNeely.
I wish he was at the level to be professional. But then the pediatrician is not even thinking about your fucking son's thumbs.
Right.
She's got her head in a million other places thinking about all the different ways she's going to set up all these Rube Goldberg traps for her ex-husband.
Indeed, she's a regular Jigsaw. Speaking of doctors, Jigsaw certainly was at a doctor quite often because he suffered from cancer, which makes him kind of empathetic in a sense.
That's also what they do to us.
Big mistake. She mixed business with pleasure.
Always.
You can't have any drop-offs taking place at your job. This is what, according to, Lance Dooley, this is what they say. They say, money drop-offs were happening right around the corner. That freaks us out. It's one of those things you just don't expect.
No.
And you really don't.
You're right. You don't expect. Because if you did expect it, you were planning a murder.
Yep. Indeed.
You were there. You were a part of the process of going. You were going to do this murder.
Yeah. And according to Nancy Newman, you know what? She never thought anything like this would happen.
Why are we talking to these people?
Well, because
why are we even asking them? Yeah, of course they don't.
Well, I mean, Again,
no one says being like, I hope my doctor is also a murderer.
You never know. She says it's shocking to say the least, and it's very sad. Just because it's very nice when you see a reputable establishment that's been around for several years, one that you can actually recommend to other people. I've had several friends that bring their children there.
You know what this is like? This is like on an obituary when they put like, they love to laugh. Where like, laughter is pleasant inherently, unless you're going over a dead body.
Right, that's
the
scary.
Laughter's pleasant. Everybody loves to laugh.
Well, of course, you're a coroner or a makeup artist and you're happy with your work. You give them a nice smile and then you can laugh. Why not?
It is weird.
Have fun with it.
I mean, then again, I feel like that falls into the maniacal category of after you've made up the corpse and just go.
Yeah.
Incredible. It is. Almost alive.
Almost alive, but still very, very dead. So anyway, don't trust pediatricians.
No.
Never believe that you're actually speaking to a hitman.
No.
If you are divorced, just check in with your ex and be like, got any plans
or
lately?
Or never think of him ever again.
Or never think of them ever
just
again.
Just move on. Go get that pussy. Go get that dick. Eat some Molly. Go to Italy. Gain 5 pounds of carbs.
Ooh,
do what you have to do.
Yes.
Anything but murder.
Well, speaking of which, if I had to change my dookie with one person's dookie, I would change it with an Italian's dookie because they eat so good.
No, I want their mouth. I don't want it after they ate. I want to experience with my mouth.
You don't eat the duke. You put the...
I don't know.
Anyway.
I don't know. They just put it right back up your butt.
Buddy, this is why we have an email.
SideStoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. Do they just put the poop right back up your butt?
Just funnel it.
We're just really are crushing it today. This is great. This is great content.
Every time I see a traffic cone, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna fill that with shit. Shove it up my ass. Really pound it down in there.
We really need to figure out how to go back on tour.
Yeah, we
do. Now, big white bunnies. Now, I wanted to talk about that since we brought up this story of a giant Easter bunny. I've actually received several emails about giant rabbits.
If I recall, when you read that email, you did think it was just a person masturbating in a bunny suit outside of this girl's home.
I did.
But now are you changing your tune a little bit?
No.
Okay.
But I'm still saying it's interesting to see how many giant rabbits people have seen and how, like, in this world of, like, single-use cryptids, like what we covered before, like, that concept of anomalous sightings is still very much in the population. And like, I find them fascinating.
Fascinating, tantalizing.
But I do want to read this little story that we got sent from a listener about another bunny sighting, which is because also there's an entity known as the puka that is a, I believe it's a giant, it's a puka, it's like Harvey the Rabbit. What is a puka rabbit?
Oh my goodness, it looks absolutely horrifying.
This is it's an Irish fuckler, and it's sometimes also seen as a dark, sleek horse, and it can turn into a giant rabbit, and I believe that is the explanation for the rabbit Harvey from the old movie Harvey with the animals.
Absolutely, with the man who went to Washington, I forget the actor's name, very famous.
Rippard Montalban.
Yes, Rippard Montalban, one of the better actors to ever walk backwards.
The thing is, they always had to reverse the reveal, so it appeared that he walked forward, but in even those haunting actions, we loved him.
Tantalizing.
I am a 28-year-old female. By the time of this incident, I was in fourth grade and living on a military base with my family.
Okay.
It was the night of Easter when this occurred.
Oh.
You notice nobody saw fucking Jesus.
Well, I'm so far removed. Easter is when Jesus was.
He wakes up.
Getting blown.
That's when he leaves. That's when they roll the rock back
that's
and he's gone.
They do the joke on Twitter that Zombie Jesus Day.
Yeah.
Didn't have that on my whatever.
It's actually on every fucking year. It's Easter. It's a holiday until we finally eradicate the Catholic Church.
Oh, wait, I did have it then.
Yes.
Oh.
Now, during any holiday where gifts were left, my sisters and I would all share a room to sleep over, mostly out of mutual excitement. That's cute.
Yeah.
Right? I was always the one to wake up the earliest and out of excitement to peek at the presents and sneak back into bed waiting for everyone to wake up.
Oh, interesting.
I love that. I was like that too. Because I hate secrets. So I like to get in there.
Yeah. I could never sleep through the night on Christmas. I was too excited.
Always sitting watching.
Yeah.
Always sitting watching.
But the nice thing is about growing up super religious, we never believed in Santa Claus.
Yeah. So you can be openly about, like, you didn't have to do the whole, like, procedure.
Oh, my parents really wanted the accolade. They wanted to be thanked.
You're correct.
And they
nailed
it.
Correct.
They nailed it.
This Easter, however, I woke up to do the same, creeping down the stairs to see a giant standing rabbit. He was all white and his ears were long.
Ooh.
I was only at the top of the banister where you could peek, and I saw it start to turn. I remember feeling so terrified Then I ran up the stairs and pulled the covers over me. I could not move and only hoped to fall asleep. What? Eventually I did, and then I woke up to quote unquote normal Easter.
Why is that what people do? You know, especially as children, if you're a child and you're listening, turn it off. Number one, it's an adult show. But don't hide under the covers. Everyone knows you're under the covers. And if you're going to be attacked, step.
That's what I do.
You just put your, but you just make yourself a human ravioli.
Seriously, if I saw you travel, yeah, you'd be a death empanada.
So maybe just go, I would say hide in the closet. Maybe it'll slightly safer.
Scream again. Scream. Always. What you need is, we learned from pirates, the surprisal. You see that bunny, turn away, do you go, fuck you, bunny.
Fuck you, bunny.
You get up in the creature's face. You do technically, in many ways, Dan Aykroyd was correct with Ghostbusters with the get her mentality, only just because it's just going to come and find you.
Absolutely. And if you know bunnies are exceptionally sensitive, so be like, you look pretty stupid in that dumb outfit, bunny. Why don't you hop along, you stupid egg-laying piece of trash?
But you bang pots and pans together.
There you go.
But there's that story, which is really fucked up. I also have this other single-use cryptid story that I wanted to talk about real quick before we go into it. It's like, so this is the type of shit that's weird. Obviously, people see things. Your brains complete the equation. But who knows what's on the other side of the equation? Because we know the reality is just comprised of whatever our rads and cones put together.
Absolutely.
Connected to our brain. I recently listened to your episode on one-off cryptids. And I heard you do a listener email about someone's personal one-off cryptid. And it reminded me of this time almost 20 years ago when I witnessed the single strangest thing I've ever seen in my life. I was 14 at the time when this happened, and it was back when the brood X cicadas started coming out on the east coast of the U.S.
Very loud little creatures.
They creeped me out. I was living in the D.C. metro area, and they were out in force for a few months. They were everywhere. Now, my house is situated at the end of a neighborhood next to the main road that goes by it, and because of that, we have a good vantage point of the sidewalk that runs beside that road. Now, during the height of the cicada season, the power lines, trees, bus stop signs, everything with any height were always covered in screaming cicadas.
Dude, those things are freaking horrifying. Was it every 10 years, 100 years, or whatever the hell they are?
14 years, it might be?
Soon they're going to be cuisine. We're going to start eating them. Yuck.
Sometimes I'd wake up with a dozen or so or more on my window screaming right outside my room. And because of this, my family thought it was crazy to try to go for a walk since you couldn't walk anywhere without accidentally stepping on a few cicadas every other step.
I mean, have fun with it.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Crash.
It's like that fantastic movie with the big bugs. You've got a Starship Troopers. Underrated film, by the way, if you ever want to see a big bug vagina.
Oh, yeah.
Check out that film.
It's fucking sweet. And it's a satire.
It is. It's fantastic and brilliant.
Now, there was this man. That's when I saw it, when I was on a walk. There was this man. At least he was a tall humanoid wearing a trench coat and a hat that could walk down the sidewalk by the road every day around 4 p.m. Then a few hours later, he'd walk back the way he came. If walking outside with cicada corpses littering the sidewalks or wearing a heavy coat in the middle of summer wasn't odd enough, he was also constantly being followed by hundreds of cicadas. They wouldn't land on him.
Cicada king.
I guess so. They wouldn't swarm on him. They would just fly around or follow behind him like he was controlling them.
Cool.
My parents would always call out to me, say, "Hey, look, it's Cicada Man."
Whoa.
Right as he walked by, and I would run to the closest window to see him. So one day I thought I'd try to follow him.
Yeah.
Never a good idea. And just to see if I could find out where he lived or why the cicadas hung around him. So I tried to tail him for a good 100 or so feet behind, trying to look like an inconspicuous teenager playing outside, hiding whenever he'd stop to look at the cicadas.
Not following you. Definitely not following
you. Just a child.
Okay.
All right. He stopped to look at the cicadas and signs of power lines. I followed him down the sidewalk behind my house around the neighborhood to this wooded area with a trail that connected to the other side of my neighborhood.
This is where you need to stop following
him. Oh, yes. And led all the way out to an outdoor mall that I'd always ride my bike to. I was familiar with the trail and I knew where every fork led out since I was so close to my house. I didn't feel scared or lost or whatever when I went back there. So this time was different, though. At some point, I lost him in the woods. And that's when I started to feel this feeling of dread surround me. It felt like cicadas had also gotten louder, like they wanted me out of the forest. And I ran as fast as I could. And I got home as quickly as possible. And it was about a month or two later, the cicadas started dying out. Cicada Man stopped walking by with his cicada brood, and we never saw him again for years. I eventually moved out from my parents' house and moved to the Midwest, where the most recent brood X emergence last year wasn't as large. But when they emerged again back home, my parents say they never saw Cicada Man again.
Very interesting, perhaps the cicadas ate him. All right.
I don't know what that is, but it is weird. And also, just remember, straight up, people are weird.
People are weird. All right. Well, speaking of weird people, let's get back to urine. So this is an interesting story.
Good. I love it.
Now, according to the, just judging by the mugshot, this is a strong woman. And she looks like one of those people who just really believes marriage is between one man and one woman, even though she looks like she might love another woman.
I think that she looks like Mickey Rourke.
She does.
She is an intense
Mickey Rooney.
Looking.
Mickey Rooney. So anyway, there were neighbors, right? Everyone has neighbors.
Sure. Now, unless you've killed them all.
Yes. And yes, then you have more than enough neighbors because you're in prison. So neighbors kept on. They have these chickens, right?
Yeah.
And chickens are cute. I'm still going to eat them, but I do love the chicken. And if you name a chicken, you groom a chicken, I will not eat that chicken. That's your pet.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk a little bit more about chickens soon.
So a neighbor's chicken kept on pooping in this chick's backyard. Now, a Florida woman allegedly, because of this, retrieved a bucket of pee from her bathroom, which I assume means that she was pissing in a bucket instead of a toilet.
Well, because the thing is that every time you piss in the toilet, you have to say bye-bye to your pee-pee.
Yeah.
And that's got to be sad because you make all this pee-pee and you think what will I do with all of it? They're like my friends or my family. I can't just let this. Technically, urine is the child of my bladder.
Well, just be very careful again while drinking so much urine, it can affect the kidneys. So make sure, again, like a sommelier, spit it out.
Mix some water in there.
or some Red Bull.
Put it on ice.
Yes, indeed. So she says, your chickens are shitting in my backyard. So then, of course, she went to get this bucket of piss, and then she doused her neighbor with the foul liquid. Her name is Christine Terman. She's 57 years, absolutely furious, and she has now been charged with misdemeanor battery. Misdemeanor. Everyone always says, I say misdemeanor.
I don't know.
But misdemeanor, whatever. You try talking on radio forever, critics. So she's been charged with the confrontation, and the cops say the victim, Lawrence Stencil, was really not doing well and quite upset. So this is what happened. Cops say Terman's seen it right, was mad at the victim, Lawrence Stencil, due to the chicken droppings.
They were all so shitting Terman, on the porch.
Yeah, so Terman went inside, got the piss, walked out to the back patio, threw the full bucket of piss.
Do they put the whole homicide squad on this? So they managed to retrace her steps? Do they go and they locate her shoes, make sure those were her footprints in the dirt? Do they go and they taste the piss and have her piss in a little cup and then they'll be like, yeah, that's hers?
All I'm saying is, Christine, you got the wrong victim here. You should have dumped the piss on the chickens. So the bucket struck Stencil in the face, causing him pain. And now the sheriff's deputy, he shows up and he's like, now what's going on here? Another piss-related incident. And then they knew that the victim was covered in piss because, quote, the victim was wet when we arrived and smelled of urine. So that's how they knew. And then
we caught her yellow handed.
Yeah. And then Terman, she said, yeah, I did it, after being read her rights.
Yeah, she definitely did it. Because she probably also had some piss on her as well.
Yeah. Terman's boyfriend, Kevin Avery, 59 years old, was also arrested for threatening Stencil in the presence of the police, which is, so this whole thing, because of the chicken shit. Now, I understand chicken shit in your backyard is probably not the most fun, but maybe the first thing you do, say, hey, can we get a chicken coop?
Let's talk about these chickens. Let's just address the chickens and talk about it. How, like, maybe start with the conversation.
Right.
Let's build a rainbow bridge.
Absolutely. This is a real stand your ground bathroom edition. I do think it could have been worse.
Oh, sure.
Obviously, we hear about gun violence.
Could have shot her in the head and could have tied her up in the back of a human-sized cage and could cut her tits off and electrocuted her. Yeah, there's so many other things she could have done.
Yeah, well, I think the victim was a man, judging by the name
of
Lawrence.
Still cut his tits off. Cut his fucking tits off.
Yes, indeed. I
fucking
did
torture him to death, man. This chicken, his chickens are in your house. Yeah, of course you want to hang him up by his toes. You want to bleed him out like he's a fucking prize hog. You want to take all that blood and you want to fucking boil it into sausages and feed it to the neighborhood. Sure, but actually, and again, I'm thankful she went the piss route.
Yeah, it could have been a lot worse. And obviously, she says, your chickens are shitting in my backyard. That ain't no chicken scratch to me. I'm pretty upset, so I'm going to go drop some piss on you. poop versus pee, chicken shit versus human piss. I understand where she's coming from to some degree, which I think is why it's only a misdemeanor. But at the same time, again, you got to live next to this person. And now all of a sudden you're the neighbor who threw the piss on the other neighbor. And then everyone knows this is a real Shatfield and McCoy's.
It is. It really is. But honestly, the chickens are really a big deal. According to many people, we got a lot of emails about these chickens, about these island chickens. They said one listener said, I've lived on the islands of the Caribbean for most of my adult life, and the chicken problem is also it's just a thing on all islands. They're everywhere. He says, quote, chickens are stupid, big, mean, and cannibalistic. They chase dogs. They dig in the trash and eat dead bodies of their chicken friends that don't make it across the road. They literally mostly watch them cannibalize them. And then he said you could eat these chickens, but they're also feeding on human detritus all day. They're feeding on garbage and shit and other chickens and cannibalizing these chickens. So they're just garbage. They're just like their guts are filled with garbage. Well,
so all those people in Minneapolis protesting against the chicken slaughter because all the chickens got chicken disease and they were going to start killing people if people ate those, leave it alone. It's not the biggest deal on earth.
It's also
focus
difficult
on the prison problem.
And apparently there are chicken lobbyists in Hawaii.
I know, we talked about this. There is a large chicken group who says, we must protect the chickens at all costs. But you know what? Like most people who virtue signal, I bet you they don't even live by the chickens.
I don't even think they know what it's like to be in these chicken communities. That's why I feel like these chicken lobbyists, you want to be a lobbyist? You should live in a chicken neighborhood.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of foul news, this is kind of an interesting story when it comes. There was a mom and she was breastfeeding, which is what a lucky day for the kid. I breastfed until I was quite old.
Oh, no, yeah. 14.
No.
14 years old.
I was three.
Which is the reason why I actually find it is weird. Whenever you do see a woman breastfeeding in public, you're always like, can I have some? Can I get into that?
Yes, exactly.
Which is, I feel like it could get us kicked out of some Delta lounges, but the one in LAX is so understandable.
I'll never forget when I was walking up Metropolitan Avenue when I lived in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. There was a 6-year-old, 7-year-old standing on one of the little stoops there that would surround the trees, sucking on his mom's tit. And he looked at me and he was fully sentient.
Oh, yeah. It's a full-on human. Yeah.
I actually completely disagreed with that mother's. I just disagreed with mom. Because also it was in front of all the other students who were playing outside for recess. And then what's that? And then just we were speaking with like people who do like the mommy fetish stuff. A call in on open lines, a caller.
Yeah. Where do you think it comes from?
That.
You see like hot mommy. Because the thing too, we were just in Williamsburg and I did happen to see, you know, and I'm not staring. You know, maybe this is inappropriate to say.
No.
But I was, you know, I was at a very nice little cafe getting a coffee, and a very attractive Brooklyn mom pulls her boobie out to feed again.
Natural.
It feels to me far too old. Child. I don't know. Very long child.
Yeah.
Very long child. And then feeding on, but that's fine though. Again, you should be allowed to. I don't think it's wrong, but also like, but if I look at it, what have I done? Am I bad? If I see it, it's not like I'm not sitting there taking pictures of it.
No, you're allowed to see it, but you're not allowed to stare at it.
Yeah, and I can't go like, nice.
No.
Be like, somebody's got some lunch. Like, I don't do that. I'm very respectful.
Of course, very polite. As a matter of fact, this goose story is technically Hero of the Week.
What?
Yeah. Hero of
the Week. Guess.
All right, let's do Hero of the Week. So a British Columbian mom, she's sitting there and she's just letting her kid suck on her tit to get all the milk out. And then all of a sudden, she sees an eagle, right? And this eagle is like, I'm fucking I'm hungry for a goddamn goose. I feel like it's Christmas, man. And, honestly, and I ain't celebrating.
Eagles, for the most part, too, especially the type of bald eagles are scavengers.
Absolutely. So she's in the middle of breastfeeding her daughter, who is 6 months old, totally normal. Fantastic.
That is normal.
Absolutely great.
I'm sorry.
And the family.
I'm sorry if I made. You can breastfeed. I say breastfeed all day.
Well, I mean, I think it would get quite sore.
Breastfeed everywhere.
Absolutely.
Like improv everywhere.
Have fun with it. Please stop. Just stop improv-ing everywhere. Improv in very specific theaters so I know how to avoid it. Yeah. Yes, thank you. So she's in the middle of breastfeeding. So the daughter is just like, nah, I'm almost getting far, man. And then all of a sudden, a couple of geese walk by and a number of chickens. And Oakley says, oh my God, this is the name of the gal, Kate Oakley. She says, oh my goodness, look at this. There's an eagle and it swooped down and it tried to take the female goose. And then, oh my God, how horrible was that? So she said,
wait, so those are her pet goose. That's her pet goose.
she's probably feeding a lot of animals. She's full of it.
Yeah, so she's feeding the goose. Is she putting seed down, or bring the goose up for a sip on the left one?
I'm not even going to tell Holden McNeely about this because he can't get enough of the milk. As a matter of fact, a doctor told him he had to stop. So she says, we've had hawks and eagles in our yard before, but I never expected an eagle to be coming after our large 20-pound goose. At some point, you just got to eat it, but I guess not.
I don't know, man. I guess we're going to get emails or whatever, but can a goose be a pet? I don't know how you can train a goose. I feel like they're vicious and they bite.
Well, I've seen some funny videos where a goose thinks it's a dog. Anyway.
Yeah, I saw that video recently where the duck is going back and forth. Not just because it's just a moment in time where the dog decided to not destroy that duck.
Yeah. So Oakley was getting her baby daughter dressed and ready for bed when she saw Frankie. Now that's the name of this big fucking goose.
See, honk, I'm you. Honk. Now yeah. I'm you.
Well, you give it three honks. It's honk, honk. Oakley said, Frankie is notorious. We have her because she's an alert goose. So she comes to our door when something's in the yard.
I feel like someone's about to get a bucket of piss dumped on them. If you have an alert goose.
An alert goose. So if something's in the yard, she's like, ha, ha, something's in the yard.
Who's the hero here?
This is what we don't know. So Oakley said she knew something was up, and then she heard Frankie calling, and then she saw her, and then she saw this eagle wings flutter past the door. And then she said, oh my God, she saw the eagle flutter. And then she said, it grabbed her by the neck, but it startled it enough that it didn't get quite a good grip. So I chased it up the driveway and let it go. And Frankie came running home.
Was the woman breastfeeding the whole time?
Well, I think at this point the kid was full and ready for bed.
So why is this? Can I ask? Because there's a part of me that thought that this was a story because she had the child latched and she was fighting an eagle.
No, she had it. But then the kid was like, check, please.
Because what I would do is I would pull child off tit, squeeze child at eagle. Milk comes out of child at eagle.
Vomit.
That's a super soaker.
Absolutely. So she said it was very bizarre to see the eagle try to grab the goose. But she said,
it's not.
No.
It's hunting.
Yeah, it's just hunting. But she said, no can do. And then the goose was safe.
So she named herself a hero.
Yes. And also she said, and I think this is actually kind of offensive to her kids. She says the goose, quote, is, she says, she's like my fourth child. I was terrified. So there you go.
Yeah, man. That's now. Okay, well.
She didn't realize the moment was caught on camera until her husband went to look. And indeed, she was laughing. She said it was hysterical. We were laughing so hard. And now the video has been shared thousands of times. And she says people commented saying women can multitask and mamas are always on guard for everything.
You know, women are special.
You know what else some people have called her?
What?
Mother Goose.
Well, I think that again, you shouldn't be allowed to be called Mother Goose unless you are breastfeeding these geese.
Yeah, well, that's probably
and also
true.
Sometimes it's difficult to make your goose latch, and you shouldn't be criticized for that, and you should
it would
be allowed.
Hurt.
But absolutely, it's little teeth. I'm just saying, if you feel emotionally connected to this goose enough to want it to latch, and it's frustrating at times. Yes, because sometimes it's very difficult to make your goose latch, which is why you have to put little seeds up inside of your nipples.
Aww.
So the goose can get in there. And also, formula is a really good option.
Absolutely. Is that what your mom did? Just rub a little marinara sauce on there so you could finally latch?
We know for a fact I just didn't have the muscle buildup to properly suck the milk through my mother's nipple, which is why I was a formula baby. And yeah. Yes, is it maybe more independent than others? Of course. But also what that has done is given me the tools I need to survive in late stage capitalism.
Okay.
Die from your grave.
Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? Ben Kissel here with Henry Zebrowski.
Yeah, it's me, man.
Yeah, bro. Henry Zebrowski is smoking some of that sweet last podcast on the left, babe. So go out there and purchase yourself some. I hope you enjoy it. We have sativa, we have indica, and we have a hybrid. And I have to tell you, from my personal experience, they are wonderful.
Super tasty live resin. You really get the delicious, weedy taste, which is what I like. And
yes.
Three different experiences. You go to your local vape store and get it.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We absolutely love you. Can't wait to see you on the road and get that vape, put it in your brain, and have a good time.
And if you want us at your favorite weed store, give them a call and ask for them by name.
Absolutely.
Last podcast on the left, it's weed.
Hail yourselves, everyone.
Hail Satan.
Also, just the final story before we get to letters, porno. There was a priest.
It can't help.
83 years old. And he said, fuck it, I'm done. Screw it all.
Good.
He said, I'm no longer a priest. I'm no longer a pastor. He traded his role for preaching to the congregation. Actually, this guy is also a hero. And he said, you know what? I'm going to become a porn star.
Whoa.
At 83 years old. This what? Is true. He's a former priest from North Carolina.
His name's Norm Self.
Which is a great name for a porn star. He was born for this. So he believes sex should be treated as a joyous part of spiritual life. And I agree with him. What? And so
how is he, not to be anything, but he says his experience has been delightful.
Yeah.
I find these days that my body's indeed a temple where intimacy and ecstasy intermingle.
I'm just so impressed he can still get hard and still ejaculate.
That's the thing. It's getting hard on camera has got to be really, really difficult. That's what they say. That's the hardest part. It's the crew. It's the guy like with the boom op, just like, yeah, you got, is he coming yet? Let me get the mic in there so I can hear it shoot out.
It's not easy to be a porn star.
It is not.
So he also realized he was married to a gal for 30 years, but then he was like, you know what? I am gay. And so he came out, which is so good for him. And I'm sorry it took so long, but I'm happy that he was able to find his truth at some point.
Oh, he's gay.
And then it took him.
That's good for him. Honestly, that's probably like, I feel like in a way, maybe I'm wrong. Like, is it so much like, do they do other things?
What do you mean?
Gay
do
porn?
You,
Fernando,
you
don't
think,
look at me.
What do you think they do, Henry?
Kissel, I'm just saying.
Do you think they read books together and sip tea? It's very similar to straight porn, but just imagine different actors.
So tell me, you're from around town? No, a lot of times I'm on the railroad. Yeah, well, that does sound like taxing. You sound like you could relax.
Yeah, it's not. Not
me, I'm the principal of my local
I think that's,
let's suck each other's dicks
there
off.
You, well, now you got to the crux of this of the story. So it took him another 20 years to come out publicly.
Wow, that's huge.
And then finally he made his porno debut in 2017.
Damn.
And
good for him.
Yep, he says it's almost like having a party. That's one of the things I admire about this way of doing porn.
He doesn't like it that it's called porn. That's what he said. He thinks that porn, it's like, there's like, there should be a more gentle word for it, like romantuary.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess so, but also.
What about
just,
my romance stories?
See, the thing, instead of changing the name porn, just normalize the term.
Or just that porn can't be that bad. It's just not that bad.
Yeah.
It's just the thing that every single human being watches. And if they say that they don't watch it, a lot of times it means it's because they're making some nefarious snuff films.
Absolutely. And of course, do everything with moderation and don't have it interfere with your love life, because it is, it's a different era out there for the kids.
Save your nut for your wife.
Like a squirrel.
Yep.
All right. So far he's done his on-camera work free of charge, which is amazing. He
of
just
course.
Does it.
Oh yeah,
for free.
Dude. Oh yeah, of course. He's just like, why wouldn't he? He was a priest for years. You know what I mean? Yeah, he's like, no. I've done my time working. Like, this is just fun for me.
Yes, he says he likes to call them erotic films.
Sure, but also normalize sense. Paying people who do porn too. They shouldn't be doing that shit for free either.
Absolutely not. All right,
here we go.
Let's also, if you've done porn in your past, run for office. It doesn't matter. We all have buttholes. We've all done it. So
it
not all porn, but you know what I'm saying.
It doesn't become normal until more people do incorporate it into their life. Like, well, do the thing where you can come back and say, like, yes, obviously, yes, I worked in pornography. It is fine. You all masturbated to it. You love it.
Absolutely.
Here we go. Here's some listener emails. Let me set the stage for you. It was around 11 p.m. when we were settling down. Got a few drinks in us. Gonna smoke a few bowls.
Nice.
You know how that is. Get a few episodes of this week's Obsession in.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I don't know that one, but okay.
You know, no, just like whatever show. People watch shows.
I see. You're just saying that as a term.
You heard about this new thing? It's crazy what the streamers are doing.
What?
They're putting out a new episode of a show every week.
Oh my God, yes.
It's so new. It's so revolutionary.
It's called television.
No, it's new.
Okay.
Fucking assholes. About 11:15, my phone starts buzzing. And glancing, because at this point, I was in the middle of a hot and heavy makeout session.
Oh, sweet, bro.
What, with a rosy Pamela? Your fucking hand?
Hello.
I hope that you did find love.
I hope so, too.
I see it that it's an unknown number and ignore the call. Over the course of the next 56 minutes, this same unknown caller calls me over 37 times.
Oh, my God.
I actually did get one of those texts the other day that was like, it was at around 1 a.m. And I got this text that was like, you met me at the Moco Lounge. You met me at the Moco Lounge. The thing be like, you got a fake number, my friend.
Yes, indeed. Oh, that's so funny. That's sad.
It was really sad.
Oh.
Oh, it was scary at first, and then I was like,
Uh-oh.
No, somebody met you at the Mocha Lounge and it was not me.
It was not me. So every once in a while, I answer every few times the call comes in. Feeling weird about it, I go to, out to lock the front door and the back door. So the first time I answered, it sounded like an early 2000s TV fuzz and I hung up. Second time around, things got weird. There was a voice on the other end asking questions that I couldn't make out, even with the phone on speaker and connected to a Bluetooth speaker. I hung up. A few minutes go by and I couldn't resist, and I answered again, and this time the voices were a little clearer. One lady was asking this other lady what she had witnessed. The second lady replied that he grabbed me by the throat and was verbally abusive towards me. The first lady thanks her for her cooperation and offers her a coffee. The phone call drops. Moments later, it rings again. Elevator music is blaring on the other end. After about 20 seconds, a loud 3-second beep occurs as if it's the end of a recording.
Okay.
Followed by a piano melody of Frank Sinatra's Fly Me to the Moon. The phone clicks back over and the Frankie stops just as if it was kind of a hallucination. The stern man's voice begins to bark objections at who I'm assuming was a judge. He starts yelling about a man named Stanley Powell, whose death had just recently been brought to public in the last few weeks. He was a local man who created a lot of jobs within the logging community here at the heart of the Pacific Northwest.
Okay.
I hear a loud boom and the phone cuts off again. I let it go. I let it ring, go to voicemail over a dozen more times, not once leaving a message. I finally answer again, only to hear what sounds like more courtroom chaos, but not the same case as before. I've now been listening to this interrogation, I'm assuming for over an hour. Nothing is making any sense, and none of the story bits line up at this point. I've looked up the number. It does not show up as a scam, and it wasn't an overlap from the police scanners we listened to. I have my little police scanner app, which is really fun to listen to late at night. The man keeps yelling over a lady about the children. What about the children? She needs to save the children. Call drops again. Needless to say, after these calls, after 2 hours, they're still coming in and there's still no actual person on the other end of responding. And every time I hang up, it rings again within seconds. If it's Jigsaw, I just hope he knows that I don't have time for games.
Wow, that's crazy.
Just typing this message out, the number has called me over 60 times.
Well, I mean, interestingly enough, so I searched Stan Powell. Stanley Dwayne Powell, born July 4th, 1934, dead September 6th, 2021. Stanley was born in Prineville, Oregon, and indeed, he had a logging company.
Weird.
Where he started his own logging company in Oregon. In 1959, he moved to Dayville, Oregon, where he started his company. And when his sons, Mark and Brent, were old enough, they worked alongside him. Stanley and LaVon, his wife, were able to purchase 40 acres and build their home and lived there for 46 years. Stanley Skip was a strong-willed man. He liked hunting, fishing, bowling, playing pool, team roping, playing
and
guitar.
Dying mysteriously?
I guess, but yeah.
We'll find out.
Anyway, that does check out with that name. This dude has a logging company in Oregon.
No, dude, it's really fucked. So creepy. Whatever that means, I mean, who knows? Like, obviously, there's still robocallers out there and things that kind of work on a kind of locked-in system. Like, they do that. They are technically illegal, but the people still do them technically for fun. We talked about how we got that weird mysterious
Star
call.
Star 69.
Yeah,
you used to be able to do that.
Used to be able to do that back when things were free.
All right. Well, there it is. Thank you so much for sending your emails. Again, sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com. Keep on sending them, and Henry will keep on reading them, and I'll keep on reacting to when Henry reads them.
I think that is best.
I think this is creepy, though. This Stanley Powell. What are the odds?
I have no clue.
That he actually
it's
has a
really
logging company.
Fucked up. It's very,
so
very strange. And again, we see a lot of high strangers through telephone. So I'd love to get, if you have any of those stories, I love reading them. I don't get sick of them. At lightstartsoversltotl@gmail.com. This week we have Brighter Side Live is doing Wednesday at the PAC Theater here in Los Angeles.
Awesome.
You should come and check it out. And check out Classy Night Out, which is also this Sunday coming up.
Yes.
Also at the PAC Theater in Los Angeles. It's going to be so much fun. We're going to be out there yucking and strutting.
Absolutely.
Doing our fucking bullshit. You got to live every day knowing for a fact that, like, yeah, if you see a giant rabbit.
Right.
Right. We know
milk
they're
it.
Out there.
No, don't milk
right?
it.
Like, but live allowing yourself to know you might see it. Right? Open yourself up to it. Increase your periphery vision of your mind so that you can really think about the fact that, like, you could see a giant turtle.
Sure.
You could see a fucking, you got to be prepared. You got to really think about it, right?
Anything you want to make giant.
Have you seen Grimace?
Yes. Seen
you
Grimace?
Remember Grimace?
From McDonald's.
Well, if you saw him for real.
Anything you want to make real.
You have to be able to laugh with Grimace.
Instead of like not worrying, like everybody runs away. This is the problem. They see these cryptids and they run away. They see that they freak out. They don't want to engage. They don't want to engage.
I never realized Grimace's name is Grimace, which is very sad.
Well, it does sound like he's got a thing lodged inside of him.
Yeah.
And that's why he's the... But, you know, again, approach your single-use cryptid. Try to engage. Mm-hmm. Laugh with them. Say something like, LeBron, huh?
Yeah.
Say something like, what's another good opener?
Oh, what's your sign?
Absolutely. What's
favorite
your sign?
Song.
And he'll be like, yield. And you're like, Grimace? You still fucking got it.
Fantastic.
And then love the fact that you have made friends with your single-use cryptid. Mm-hmm. You now have a pitch to bring to one of the big old streamers looking for content.
Absolutely.
Desperate for content, especially mm-hmm. Netflix. Because, yeah, they might have just fired 150 people. They might be lowering what they said they might be. They called it restricting their stream.
I love that. Netflix is a joke.
No,
it's a joke.
They know it.
It's a joke.
They think it's funny.
Wow.
So just again, you're making content that way. That's OC, baby.
I love it when large corporations blame password sharing for their demise as opposed to their own complete ineptitude.
It's like telling me that I can't pre-rinse my dishes before putting them in the dishwasher because the reservoirs are running out and it's not because we insist on drinking almond milk in a desert. And it's a desert and we don't belong here. And they shouldn't be pumping all this water into the almond milk.
I got nipples. Can you milk me?
You know, we keep trying and we'll never know. But thank you guys so much.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Hope you're doing well out there, surviving, and stay as positive. I know things are tough for a lot of folks out there, so stay positive and we'll try to keep on getting through this. And don't worry, we'll be called home at some point. Just try to make it natural. I say this out loud for myself. Because I was
but seriously,
still
unable
to buy a gun.
We joke about this. I really do think that we've said this before. Things are really fucking chaotic right now. I even want to say this as a disclaimer. We've experienced it. Everybody, I think, is feeling the same fucking heat right now. There's a lot of fucking garbage flowing out. Kind of feels like the problem they have in space where there's just so much garbage just floating around out there that you're going to collide with something no matter what. That's just how it is.
Yeah, like, I read an article about that right before bed last night.
Oh, yeah, it's really scary.
And then I had a dream I was talking to David Letterman and Rush Limbaugh.
Ugh.
At the same time. It was really weird.
Honestly, it would be interesting, but the green room would be unpleasant.
Yeah.
But I just want to say, like, we're here with you on the same exact trip. We want to put as much vibes out there as possible. I will not pre-rinse my dishes if that's what the government wants. I'm fine with it. I just want I'm here to not cause more problems besides the personal chaos of trying to change your paradigm and understand that life's a little bit weirder than you want it to be.
Absolutely. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
See you, fuckers.
All right.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.